Exame Final Nacional de Inglês, Prova 550, Primeira Fase. Ensino Secundário, 2026. 11º ano de escolaridade. Continuação, Bienal. Vai agora realizar a parte A da prova, compreensão do oral. Escute com muita atenção e siga as instruções. Mesmo que não compreenda alguma palavra ou frase, continue a resolver a prova e mantenha-se em silêncio. A parte A da prova é composta por 7 itens relativos a 2 textos, texto 1 e texto 2. Antes de ouvir cada texto, dispõe de alguns segundos para ler os respectivos itens. Vai ouvir cada texto 2 vezes. Enquanto estiver a ouvir, pode anotar as suas respostas no enunciado. Lembre-se de que terá de as assinalar posteriormente na folha de respostas. Dispõe de alguns segundos no final de cada audição para assinalar e verificar as suas respostas. Atenção, toda a prova será em inglês. Vire agora a página do enunciado para dar início à parte A da prova, compreensão do oral.
Text 1. You will hear 3 teenagers talking about their hobbies. Match the names Louise, Sally or Gregory in column A with the ideas they express in column B. Use all the ideas once. On the answer sheet, for each letter, mark the correct numbers. Now read the ideas in column B. You have 20 seconds to read them. Now listen. Louise?
You might not believe it, but yeah, my favorite hobby is coding and programming. I know it sounds kind of nerdy, but honestly, I'm totally into it. I started when I was about 12, just playing around with simple websites. Then, I moved on to creating short games, which was a blast. It can be time-consuming, but who cares? What I like most is the feeling when the code finally works after trying for ages. It's like solving a puzzle. It also helps me to think more logically, and I guess it could be useful for my future job. Some of my friends even ask me how to do it. Others think it's way too complicated. So yeah, coding might not be for everyone, but for me, it's the best thing ever.
Sally.
My hobby is podcasting, which might sound unusual for a teenager, but I'm kind of hooked on it. I started during lockdown, just recording myself talking about music and school life. At first, it was just messing about, but then I learned how to edit the audio and make it sound professional. What I like most is sharing my ideas and having real conversations with people. It's a great way to express myself and improve my communication skills. My friends think it's super cool. They always listen to my episodes and even give me ideas for new topics. Some of them have joined me as guests, which is just the icing on the cake. Podcasting is totally my thing.
Gregory.
I like reading, playing the guitar, and running. But the thing that totally fascinates me is music production. I started by just messing around with free apps on my laptop. Pretty soon, I was hooked. I couldn't stop experimenting with beats and mixing sounds. What I love most is how creative it feels. It's such a buzz to create something that finally sounds right, like I've nailed it. School and chores seem to take up so much of my day, but I still manage to squeeze in some time for producing tracks. My friends say I've got real talent, and some even ask me to create background music for their videos. The only downside is my best friend complains I spend too much time indoors and should go out more.
Listen again. Louise?
You might not believe it, but yeah, my favorite hobby is coding and programming. I know it sounds kind of nerdy, but honestly, I'm totally into it. I started when I was about 12, just playing around with simple websites. Then, I moved on to creating short games, which was a blast. It can be time-consuming, but who cares? What I like most is the feeling when the code finally works after trying for ages. It's like solving a puzzle. It also helps me to think more logically, and I guess it could be useful for my future job. Some of my friends even ask me how to do it. Others think it's way too complicated. So yeah, coding might not be for everyone, but for me, it's the best thing ever.
Sally.
My hobby is podcasting, which might sound unusual for a teenager, but I'm kind of hooked on it. I started during lockdown, just recording myself talking about music and school life. At first, it was just messing about, but then I learned how to edit the audio and make it sound professional. What I like most is sharing my ideas and having real conversations with people. It's a great way to express myself and improve my communication skills. My friends think it's super cool. They always listen to my episodes and even give me ideas for new topics. Some of them have joined me as guests, which is just the icing on the cake. Podcasting is totally my thing.
Gregory.
I like reading, playing the guitar, and running. But the thing that totally fascinates me is music production. I started by just messing around with free apps on my laptop. Pretty soon, I was hooked. I couldn't stop experimenting with beats and mixing sounds. What I love most is how creative it feels. It's such a buzz to create something that finally sounds right, like I've nailed it. School and chores seem to take up so much of my day, but I still manage to squeeze in some time for producing tracks. My friends say I've got real talent, and some even ask me to create background music for their videos. The only downside is my best friend complains I spend too much time indoors and should go out more.
Now check your answers. That is the end of the listening of text 1. Text 2. You will hear a podcast about whether mobile phones should be banned at school. Choose the correct option, A, B, or C. On the answer sheet, for each item, mark the correct option. You have 45 seconds to read the items. Now listen. Hello and welcome to the Parent Pause. I'm your host, Alex. Today we're tackling a hot topic. Should mobile phones be banned at school? Joining me are Mr. John Carter, a high school teacher, and Dr. Maria Lopez, a child psychologist. Welcome. Let's begin. John, you're the one dealing with students every day. Should phones be banned?
In my experience, yes. At least during lessons. Phones are the number one distraction. Imagine explaining Shakespeare or solving an equation while half the class is checking their social media accounts. Still, I'll admit they can be handy. For example, we sometimes use online quiz apps. But 9 times out of 10, they sidetrack students. And I'm not the only one who feels this way. In fact, phones have already been prohibited or restricted at school in 1 in 4 countries worldwide, which shows schools everywhere are wrestling with the same challenge.
So you see limited value. Maria, what's your take on it?
I wouldn't go for a total ban. Phones are a part of modern life, and banning them would be completely unrealistic. Many students use them to translate words, record homework, or even look up quick facts. And from a psychological angle, having a phone can lower anxiety. Just knowing they can contact parents if needed makes some teens feel safer. That said, I get what John says. The constant buzzing or even the sight of a phone can ruin concentration. And when you look at the statistics, it's clear how prevalent these devices are. Studies have found that 63% of 8 to 11-year-olds and a massive 93% of 12 to 15-year-olds already use social media and messaging apps. Phones aren't going anywhere, so we need to prepare young people to use them well.
So both of you acknowledge pros and cons. John, what about the argument that banning phones cuts down on cyberbullying?
I've seen that firsthand. When phones are put away, there's less filming of fights, less sharing of embarrassing photos, and fewer online arguments spilling into class. It gives us breathing space. But I'm realistic. Bullying doesn't vanish. It just moves outside school hours.
Exactly. A ban might reduce incidents during the day, but it doesn't teach kids how to handle online behaviour. Instead, schools should build digital citizenship programmes, teaching respect, privacy, and how to cope with online pressure. Still, I understand why teachers appreciate the peace a ban brings.
We're circling around a middle ground. John, what would your ideal policy look like?
I'd say phones off and away during class. Students need structure, and clear rules keep things fair. Some schools even have phone lockers to put phones away. I like that idea, though it requires some investment.
I agree. However, balance is key. I've also seen schools try phone-free days. Interestingly, many students later admitted they enjoyed the break, but they'd be upset if it were every day.
As a parent, I want my child focused on learning, but I'd also panic if I couldn't reach them in an emergency. What role do parents play here?
A big one. If parents expect instant replies during school hours, kids feel pressured to check their phones secretly. Parents need to respect school rules too.
I prefer not to comment on that, but as I see it, consistency matters. If one teacher says phones away and another ignores the rule, students get mixed messages. Schools need a whole community approach, teachers, parents, and students working together.
That makes sense. Before we wrap up, let me challenge you both. If you had to sum up your position in one sentence, what would it be?
Ban them during lessons and give students clear boundaries.
Don't ban them completely. Teach responsible use and get parents involved in setting healthy limits.
And I'd say keep phones, but keep the balance. Kids need focus, but they also live in a digital world. Thank you both for a fascinating conversation. Listen again. Hello and welcome to the Parent Pause. I'm your host, Alex. Today we're tackling a hot topic. Should mobile phones be banned at school? Joining me are Mr. John Carter, a high school teacher, and Dr. Maria Lopez, a child psychologist. Welcome. Let's begin. John, you're the one dealing with students every day. Should phones be banned?
In my experience, yes, at least during lessons. Phones are the number one distraction. Imagine explaining Shakespeare or solving an equation while half the class is checking their social media accounts. Still, I'll admit they can be handy. For example, we sometimes use online quiz apps. But 9 times out of 10, they sidetrack students. And I'm not the only one who feels this way. In fact, phones have already been prohibited or restricted at school in 1 in 4 countries worldwide, which shows schools everywhere are wrestling with the same challenge.
So you see limited value. Maria, what's your take on it?
I wouldn't go for a total ban. Phones are a part of modern life, and banning them would be completely unrealistic. Many students use them to translate words, record homework, or even look up quick facts. And from a psychological angle, having a phone can lower anxiety. Just knowing they can contact parents if needed makes some teens feel safer. That said, I get what John says. The constant buzzing or even the sight of a phone can ruin concentration. And when you look at the statistics, it's clear how prevalent these devices are. Studies have found that 63% of 8 to 11-year-olds and a massive 93% of 12 to 15-year-olds already use social media and messaging apps. Phones aren't going anywhere, so we need to prepare young people to use them well.
So both of you acknowledge pros and cons. John, what about the argument that banning phones cuts down on cyberbullying?
I've seen that firsthand. When phones are put away, there's less filming of fights, less sharing of embarrassing photos, and fewer online arguments spilling into class. It gives us breathing space. But I'm realistic. Bullying doesn't vanish. It just moves outside school hours.
Exactly. A ban might reduce incidents during the day, but it doesn't teach kids how to handle online behaviour. Instead, schools should build digital citizenship programmes, teaching respect, privacy, and how to cope with online pressure. Still, I understand why teachers appreciate the peace a ban brings.
We're circling around a middle ground. John, what would your ideal policy look like?
I'd say phones off and away during class. Students need structure, and clear rules keep things fair. Some schools even have phone lockers to put phones away. I like that idea, though it requires some investment.
I agree. However, balance is key. I've also seen schools try phone-free days. Interestingly, many students later admitted they enjoyed the break, but they'd be upset if it were every day.
As a parent, I want my child focused on learning, but I'd also panic if I couldn't reach them in an emergency. What role do parents play here?
A big one. If parents expect instant replies during school hours, kids feel pressured to check their phones secretly. Parents need to respect school rules too.
I prefer not to comment on that, but as I see it, consistency matters. If one teacher says phones away and another ignores the rule, students get mixed messages. Schools need a whole community approach, teachers, parents, and students working together.
That makes sense. Before we wrap up, let me challenge you both. If you had to sum up your position in one sentence, what would it be?
Ban them during lessons and give students clear boundaries.
Don't ban them completely. Teach responsible use and get parents involved in setting healthy limits.
And I'd say keep phones, but keep the balance. Kids need focus, but they also live in a digital world. Thank you both for a fascinating conversation. Now check your answers. That is the end of the listening of text 2. That is the end of part A.